This is just for the big business like this, it's not very much time. So what I would like to say, and all the councils, I want you to listen to me. What I would like to say, I want to extend it. I'd rather see they extend it, the land claim. 20 years turn is too cheap to settle land down. And you have to stand up for your own good. And all the land in a timeship, like we have a village for maybe more than 1,000 years up the Mansfield Lake. We have a fish camp there. And the state law, they bring the state law up to lawn with a timeship, 6 mile by 6 mile square land. It's going to be timeship. The land is, we're going to own the land. But water, we can't own it. This is a foolishness. I mean it. This is a foolishness. We have a 3 foot deep land. We got right to use that land. We have a lake like this in it, level with the ground. 3 foot deep water, it had right to go with the land. And also a creek. And some dummy guy gonna say, the water floating down. But the water still there all the time, every day. And we use and drink in that water. We shooting ducks, BB, muskrat, fishing. After 3 feet deep water, from there down, state can have all the water they want. That's the way it should be in our land. And you people have to stand up for your own land, your own good. I'd rather see extended for the land. Don't matter whoever say anything, causing trouble or what. Stand up for your land. If I understand like you guys, like I go through high school, how many of you go through high school? If I understand English, I tear that 20 years down. I can go any place in the meeting. Down in Washington, everywhere. That's the way to stand up for ourselves. Why should we want to obey these people, state law? Why should we have to obey them and tell us what to do? Law against that, tell the people what to do, is that right?
Yeah, that law is there to tell people what to do. That's mm-hmm. right.
So I really want to see those land claim before 20 years. I like to see they can extend it. Add in a few more years to settle this land and work over, and it's just like you survey around, and how gonna be easy for the native life, and that's the way we want. We only got just a little chip land, and the rest of a 10 million acre land state take away from us. Also BLM, what they don't need it. Us, we need those little piece of land for our living. It's the only place that we can get our food and stuff like that. We don't have $1,000 in a bank like the white people do. And how many hundred native in Alaska have a year-round job? They can find that in an employment office. And how much money that those native get paid for the wages they have? And they have to all look at it this before they do anything about those land. For little job, like maybe just for a little bit of money, job some native got, they think that they work just like white people. I don't see how. It's going to be between white people and a native. It's going to be a lot of different for that money. And also that, and also that Doyon lost some money. That one I don't like it too, you know. I really unhappy to hear that. When I heard about them. The people have to, they're in a business for how many years ever since that land claim been started? And yet they can't think not very much. I can see how they do. We have a 15 housing from Tanana Chief up here in this village. The people been working there, they fool around, even those boss. And for that 15 housing, half of that money we should be finished, complete. And that much more money they spend it into that 15 housing. Government money, government, they said, those boss. And all this thing is don't work right. And I tell two young councils to move that guy. And they didn't. And I'm in a business with them, I fired that guy. And after that, they get away with material and stuff like that. All this crook is no good altogether. And for the trap line, you know. Trap line, it seems like we couldn't do anything too much. But we're leaving up my trap line, you know. I use ever since 1934. I still use and yet my own trail. Used to be an old time people trail. But for that many years I keep cutting trail and keep that trail open. And I had some house. Lawn there too. The trap line, you know, in a trap. I don't mean I don't want the people, but we have a too small land. And what little we got inside of those land, like me, I'm getting to be old man. And I can't cover big country no more. And I can only go to that inside of my township and what little trap I can set. And here they're coming down with a plane. And they go through with a snow machine. You can't catch them, whoever doing that. They're from Toko, right? What about if I go there where they're trapping? what they're going to do to me. They're going to do something to me if they cut me. And I probably can do. Before this trouble, I would like to see the people straighten out all those. I guess that's about all I got. If I got any more, why, how long are you going to stay here?
Oh, I'll be here all afternoon and...
All afternoon?
And tonight.
Oh, I thought week.
No, no. You haven't got that much to say, have you?
Could I have your attention, please, for a second?
Oh, thank you for listening.
Dean, if you would feel more comfortable talking in our language, go ahead and do so. We'll have an interpreter interpret what you're saying. What I was just saying is, this is directed to those people that don't understand what I was saying.
Can you hear me? My name is Robert Paul from Tanacross. I'm one of the village council and I'm on a corporation board member. And I live in Tanacross all my life. And only thing I want to say about this land claim settlement act is they're saying that 91 Land Claim Settlement Act is kind of short for us. The way I look at it, I think here in a couple of years or 3 years back, since then the people are realizing what the Land Claim Settlement Act is all about. And mostly about this Land Claim Settlement Act, a lot of young people that in their 20s, in 30s, 1971, it started. Well, since then, it's been 12 years, and you only got 8 years to settle this. And I think it's really short for this Land Claim Settlement Act. Like Oscar Isaac was saying a while ago, I think they should extend it for 10 or 20 years more to really get some of these younger guys to see what's going on, to settle this really carefully. And there's a lot of young people that's coming up that's been to school, going to school, college. I think we'll have more to say by time it reaches to 91 with all the backings from our younger people that 91 comes. So I really think we should extend this Land Claim Settlement Act from 91, 10 years or 20. Then I think we're getting somewhere. Then for another, I want to say another thing about this 1971 unborn kids that's born in 70, after 71. What would happen if a kid was born in 1972? If he reaches up to 1991, he would be 19 years old, will he? If he don't have no share, no voting rights, and if he wants to run for board director, what would the kid get? Would they deny him for his right to run for his representative for his village or for corporation board member? Would that be fair? I really think it's unfair for non-born 72 to run for board of director in 91. He would never run, or they'll deny him for running for director or whatever he's running for, or if he's running for his corporation board member, he wouldn't even do that. I think the unborn child from 72, 73, whatever, if they extend that for another 20 years, I think things will come out level to have that unborn child to have his voting right all over Alaska. And I see no point why the kid should have right to vote, to do what he thinks is right for his people. If you extend that for another 10 years from 91, the kid might even be 29 years old. The kid, if a kid is 29 years old, at the 29 years old, he could be 4 years in college, graduated from college. He could know just about what's going on for his people and all over Alaska. Things probably will come out better than what you can get in 91. And I really like to see our kids to have their voting right. If you don't have, they don't have no shares of no share, no voting right, what does a kid got to? He got nothing to do, but just, he's just like anybody else. And I think it's ain't gonna be fair for the unborn child. Even if he goes to meeting, he wouldn't even have say so. Even if he knows that guys are talking the wrong direction or the wrong way. He can't say that, he can't even get up and say, well, you guys are wrong, because he got no writing vote, voting right, whatever. And I think they should extend the Land Claim Settlement Act, and they should get some done for unborn kids to get their voting right, so our kids can do something for our Land Claim Settlement Act at the same time. So I think we need more time for our Land Claim Settlement Act. More for our people. You get a little more time, you get more done, you probably even get more land. Well, if there are younger kids in 72, 73 graduated in 1900, maybe they'd be more smarter than what we are now. Probably get more land and more easy time. Probably more money. Who knows? But if you don't get them younger kids in there, you ain't got nothing. Just like what we are now. We're just getting started. I see here in 3 years, for myself, I'm old enough to been here since 1971, but I don't understand what Land Claim Settlement Act, it's all about. Here just 2 years ago. And 20 years, like Oscar Isaac was saying, 20 years is too short. I think they should extend it from 91 on up 10 or 20 years.
Yes, you're saying, I think, Mr. Paul, if you say, well, we should extend the time for 10 or 20 more years after 1991, and then the next generation of well-educated Native people can run these corporations and make a success of them and acquire additional land for the people. But you point out that that next generation aren't even going to be shareholders, so there has to be a way found to enable them to participate as shareholders if they're going to be running these companies and helping the people. Is that I think that's what you were saying.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you get 1971, unborn child after 71, well, if a kid was born in 72, well, 1899, he'll be 18 years old. He'll be old enough to run for the board director, run for the whatever, for Tanana chief. Then if he was, they wouldn't let him because he's non-shareholder. Is that correct?
Yes, if you're not a shareholder, you can't run for the board.
That's what I'm trying to say, is yeah. I hope they can extend it so that the non-shareholder can be shareholder and can run for the director or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, what's the point of raising all these bright, young, educated people if they're not going to even have the right to vote? I see the point.
Yeah. Why have all the kids?
Have limited education. What he's trying to say, those born popularly known in the state of Alaska as the new natives will be, or are expected to be, more educated than my generation, and they won't have the right to vote in their own village corporation because they're not eligible because of their birth. And he's saying that there should be some form there should be some form organized to include these afterborns. I think that's the point he's trying
yeah.
to.
Yeah, that's
say.
A good point.
So that'll be all I got to say.
Thank you. Parents can transfer their shares to newborns, but if some parents have a lot of kids, their kids will get fewer shares than the kids of those parents with just one or two. Well, I understand that you, sir, Mr. Charlie James, wish to speak.
I'm a really old time.
Charlie, John
Jeezy. I really old time. I can't understand white people much. But I can understand it in a way. I wish you were eating so I can talk to you for my own language. And I'd go to school like you people do. And I'd go to school for all my lifetime. So I live with white people for 4 to 5 years. This grand, this place you talk about, it used to be all Eden all over the coast. That's belonged to Eden. That belonged to white people. White people come right there and just pick them up what we never chase back. We never chase back tall. Lord, you ever think you follow your charge as to clean everything. He should charge to you people. Everything, give everything. Everything is belong to Eden. All animals in Alaska. This Alaska belongs to Eden. What little clean he want to get, he should get it. Lord, all admitted every day. That's don't work. You never think about what you take out of other Eden people. Eden people, you lose lots of gold, you lose lots of country. What we get out of it? What little pieces will we get out of our old Alaska? This Alaska should be Eden both. Instead of white people, most vote. White people, he live all of Alaska. Eden people born all over the coast. He born right there. I can't understand white man like it's much too. I can't talk about Jesus. But that Eden, what he used to make, he'd leave him. You want that ground, you want that ground, you should let him have it. Instead of meet it every year. That's all work. Let Eden have it. Because that's his country. Because that's his country. He lived for a long time, well before white people. So white people both to Eden people right now. Lie plane. That's not work. I don't think that's work. You should give it. You should give it back to what little ground he wanted. What? And white people, he spoiled the people of Alaska too. He spoiled all young people too. You learn nothing bad for Asian people of Alaska. You follow through that. You never learn nothing other Asian people for bad stuff. The white people bring all kinds of bad stuff and you follow teach them. That he chose that. That's why you spoil all Eden, Velasca. Before no white man, people is put a good. Leave it put a good too. He big where ground he want to take, that's where before you people. He used that ground. Every village, some people die off. You think he just throw it away. He never throw it away. We got few more Eden rest, then we can send some Eden back there, our old village. See? But you fellas take everything away. I don't think that work. But this trail cross too. You should give a turtle. You gave a little turtle for trail cross ground. Steal me not right there. What?
What?
Let's get your teeth. That all together, this last cast belongs to Eden. Animal, fur, trap line. All white people take Eden trap line. Eden get no place to trouble. He brings no gold, he brings everything. So people, all Indian boys got no money to buy. Good many years. I know Indian people, George United States citizen for 1907. They chose for citizen of United States. And since that time, I thought white people is to be friendly to the Velasca Indian. So we never kick, we never say nothing. You never hear no Indian kick. Out of his country, no place, all over the world. If we go states, we take the ground, make it this Alaska. You think you fellas who give us chance? I don't think you give us chance. All I want to say is this, because I'm not going to I can understand eating well for the good. If you eat it, we can talk one another. How much will you fit that? But now I can talk English. It's put a hard for me to talk. I like to see you people give back what little don't try to take everything away out of the Indian people. He gotta have it. He gotta have his old country, little something. If you fellas want to take all, you gotta pay the ground. Ground, he get away. That's the only way you take all the land seed. Yeah.
Okay, he's done with his testimony.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. James.
Let me sort of recap in English what he was talking about. He's talking about back prior to Alaska becoming a territory of the United States and the ensuing statehood formation. He is saying that they used to roam freely about to their seasonal camps and living a subsistence way of life. But since the territorial days and then the under the state, the people were subject to fish and wildlife regulations, and since the passage of the Land Claims Act, the native people were subject to smaller and smaller lots, and he's talking about the social changes that has occurred, such as alcoholism, and which caused deaths and things of that nature. His testimony was just sort of based on that.
Thank you, Mr. Isaac.
Does anyone care to have a break? A 5-10 minute break?
I'd kind of like to have one.
All right, we'll take a 5 to 10 minute break then.
I'm Logan Luke. I'll follow up on Franklin's statement about those kids that was born after 1971.
Mm-hmm.
What guarantee do you have that one of those kids ain't going to sue you for whatever done there? You know, the dividend fund been stopped by one person, the whole Alaska came to stop because one person said it's unconstitutional.
Well,
then a longevity bonus been stopped by one person.
Yeah.
And what if that kid was born just 6 months later? Then he didn't have no land claim thing. He doesn't have no entitlement down there. What guarantee do you have that he ain't going, he or she ain't, or the corporation right here, or Doya?
Well, it's Congress passed the law that left the kids out, so I suppose most lawyers would say, well, Congress left the kids out, so the kids can't sue to get in.
Yeah, but they got human rights, right?
Well, that's what everybody in the village is saying to me. Why did they leave the kids out? They should be in. That's what people are saying to me. And I gather that's your opinion too.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that they ain't going to sue the village or the corporation or whatever.
Yeah.
If one people in this Anchorage Dunner, if he can do it, one kid can stop this whole corporation Dunner. Probably tied up in court 4 or 5 years from now.
Well, it's a warning worth bearing in mind.
Because it's not their fault, they're 6 months later, but yeah, yeah. That's... And one more down there, that how come Congress never put in for Alaska veteran? There's a lot of veteran out here. In fact, how come Doyon never put it in their clause down there that there's an Alaskan veteran out here?
Justice,
really,
doesn't have anything to do with the
answering
the questions.
No, this on a land claim thing.
Yeah. We're looking for all he's doing is taking testimony from the people that are affected with ANCSA, whether it's what are the good things that have happened since ANCSA passed, what's the adverse impacts, you know, such as what went wrong since, you know, what's the bad part of it. Suggestions as to what needs to be changed to cover certain things that aren't changed, I mean, that aren't covered now. That's all he's doing, kid. He's not an expert with ANCSA. All he's doing is he's going to provide a written report as to the changes needed and what kind of economic instead were experienced by
the husband. That puts it very well, Mr. Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he put it right, but the way I think down there is they should reconsider them, all the people down there, like the little kids down there. They got rights too, you know. Just like me and you, we got rights, they got rights, but there's no such guarantee that they won't do it. Another thing I listened to them is what to do was 1991 down here. I think that they should really consider that corporation own that whole thing down there. Never sell. I don't think it's wise to sell your corporate stock.
Do you think that there should be a law that says people can't sell their stock in 1991?
No, you can't, because that's against their right. You can't tell people that they can't, you know. You can't tell people they got no right to sell, you know. It's their business if they want to sell out. But it's a strong possibility that it's a best to let the corporate know what they want to do. Because for the last 11 years, I've been involved with Mount McKinley Bank down there. My two kids involved in it. And I know those corporations, how they work. And I have a definite idea how this corporation works. But you can't put in no written statement say they can't sell. That's against their right. I don't know, maybe nobody agree with me, but I know I can't tell nobody nothing. But for far as the land and everything down there, I think it should belong right in that corporate thing done. Or let the village council take care of it. You can pitch your tent anywhere you feel like it within limit. I don't think you're supposed to tell somebody don't sell. Otherwise, me and you, we'd both be in trouble then. Because nowadays you can't tell nobody that. You don't sell. But I read that report on 1991, but I still don't understand that thing. I'll let Betty take over.
Good. Well, we're looking forward to Betty taking over.
My name is Betty Thomas Denny. I'm a stockholder of Tanner Cross Inc. and Doyon. And I jotted my my feelings on the paper, so I'll read it and comment on it. I have several things I want to bring up. Number one is also for the records, I am also concerned about our children who were born after 1971. If 1991 is the issue, the enrollment should be open until then or ongoing. Thinking about the future of these children, I'm therefore against selling stock. There should be some sort of restriction. And like Logan was saying, you can't keep the stockholders from selling their stocks, but there should be a restriction like the stockholder should sell it back to the village or to these kids that are not enrolled. I work with the local elderly program in this region, and I feel that the elderly people should benefit now while they're still alive. There should be some sort of financial or social services set up for them right now after they reach a certain age, something similar to the Alaska Longevity Bonus Program, which is after you turn 65, you receive $250 a month. I feel that the elderly is not benefiting now as it is. And this should be from either the village or the regional corporation. And my third issue is native allotments. The village and the regional corporation had to select around the selected native allotments. And I feel that these applications for these native allotments were not pushed hard enough. For instance, by 1971, everybody had to apply, and there were many, many of us. For now, I'm speaking only for the village of Tanner Cross, but I'm sure there are other villages, not only in this region, but statewide, that was of age to apply for native allotments that did not apply because information was not spread out well enough. People didn't, people weren't pushed to apply. And I feel that if we were given the freedom to apply for these native allotments, there'd be that much more land to be selected around by the village or the regional corporations.
Excuse me, do you mean that native allotments could be selected out of land that is owned by the state or the federal government or by the corporations, or where would the land for native allotments come from?
The 1906 Federal Act?
Yeah, I appreciate you want to restore the old 1906 Allotment Act for mm-hmm. Alaska Natives. But let's suppose that were done, then where would you go to select your land?
If I had the choice, I would select it right in my regional area where I was born and raised in. That way I am giving myself for my children, they can use the land in the village that they're raised at, and also the village corporation can have the opportunity to select around that specific land that I applied for, and they can apply elsewhere.
So the land that you would like to be able to select for a native allotment would be land that is currently held by the state of Alaska, is that it?
Not necessarily so, because before 1971 came, I guess under this native allotment, you should have use that land in one way or the other by hunting, picking mm-hmm. berries on it, having campsite on it, that sort of thing. I wouldn't select my 160 acres like in the Glen Allen area, if that's what you mean.
I guess I'm just a little being a little dumb about this, but the land that there is available in Alaska now is held by corporations, native corporations, by the state government, by the federal government, and by private people. So if you brought back the 1906 Native Allotments Act and said, okay, you can have 160 acres, but you've got to hunt and fish on it or pick berries or put up a campsite, that's fine, but where would you go to get that land to give people like you 160 acres? Am I just being hard to get along with here?
That would occur right in the surrounding area of a person's village.
I see.
You see, I wouldn't venture out to select lands in a 160 acre lot in Tetley. By birth, I don't come from Tetley.
I appreciate that.
But then, what she's trying to say that it's the 1906 Native Allotment Act should be restored to give those people that did not actively participate in the application of the Native Allotments a chance to gain their own personal ground.
Sure, I understand that. Principle, the idea.
I think both the state and the federal do have some land tied up in this area, and at this point, either one.
I see. If it's the right land, it can come from either one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. Along this line, also they have land disposal to the state, and I think a lot of people are taking advantage of this land disposal. Primarily from out of the state of Alaska, as long as because it's lottery, and our people, right from town across, are not getting into this land disposal like I like to see happen. It's open to everybody, and I think just that's where the state is getting rid of some of these lands, and I think it should some.
You say that land could be made available for native allotments, too.
I guess. I'd like to see something like that.
Yeah.
Mainly because we missed out on the native allotments. And I'd like to see if the state can give out land through their land disposal program. I think they ought to reconsider the people that missed out on their 1971 applications and consider something in the way of the land disposal that they're doing right now. And people are not getting their titles to their land, their native allotments on a timely basis. Either the federal government or the state is dragging it out, and it's taken too long for these people to get their title, and by the time they get their title, the person is no longer here. Another thing about the land claim and the village selection, because of the land claim, I think it restricted the land use to many of our people. I know that currently people can't trap, hunt, fish, or even pick berries anywhere because they have this fear of trespassing on another person's property or another village selection in this area or the regional selection. And I hate to see that when you cross the borderline of another village, they say you can't park your car here or you can't get into our lake because you're not a stockholder of our village. Although we're so close to one another, it shouldn't be that way. It should be open. The regional village corporations should stick together and shouldn't restrict another stockholder from another village to the land use. And last, I'm concerned about the Tanner Cross airstrip. There may be other airstrips in the state of Alaska, but for this, my feelings is that this airstrip was built by the village people of Tanner Cross by hand, and when the wages were low back in those days. And according to the ANSCA, we couldn't select this land, this airstrip, because it has to be either run or owned by the state or federal. And I guess at this point, both state and federal have ties into it because of the Bureau of Land Management and on. But currently, there are private profit-making business that's leasing from the state of Alaska, and the state is maintaining that airstrip for this profit-making business. My feeling is the state shouldn't be spending money maintaining the airstrip for somebody that's making profit out of using the land, the airstrip. I feel that the airstrip should be turned back over to the local village government, and the local village government can try to make profit from leasing, and maybe the profit that they make can go back into maintaining the airstrip. So, and my point is there's two airstrips 10 miles from one another, one in Tok and one in Tanner Cross, and I know that the state is spending state dollars or federal on both airstrips. And I think at this point they should be spent, they should choose one. They should maintain only one airstrip. So I'll come back if I have any other issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas.
I'll fill the gap.
My name is Jerry Isaac. Although the native people of Alaska are faced with many complex choices and options, there were some favorable consequences of ANCSA. One of the favorable consequences that occurred after the passage of ANCSA is it provided an opportunity for the native people of Alaska to actively participate in a corporate business and, in essence, the free enterprise system. It also provided them a chance to take the reins in the service, the non-profit service, social service delivery system. I think since the last decade, it also shed some light on the importance of gaining higher education for the native children. It provided some jobs, some of it seasonal, some of it permanent. It also provided for the making of new leadership. Oftentimes in the villages, it's hard to replace a person having been in the leadership position for 20 years. It's very hard for them to be replaced because of I just lost my train of thought here. It's sometimes there's a group of high school kids that are interested in leading the villages, but some majority of the times they drop off because of lack of opportunities on the village council level. I didn't write down the adverse effects that was caused by ANCSA. One of the chief adverse impacts that is felt by many of the natives in Alaska is that it had made the natives become territorial in attitude and nature. And the other thing is, the other unfavorable consequences is we have to deal with finding ways to avoid taxation, which would result in us losing title to the lands that that the natives had fought so hard for. And, you know, ANCSA is a good canvas that was enacted. It only needs a few strokings to make it a suitable tool for the natives to spring up from. It's like buying an old car. ANCSA is like buying an old car. And if you buy the old car and drive it until it's dead, it's dead. The car won't go anymore. You'll have to take it into a junkyard and junk it. If you bought an old car and keep repairing it, you know, overhauling the engine, fixing the differentials, and repainting it, the car will last a little while longer. And in philosophy, I see ANCSA as being this type of a vehicle. See, a lot of times I wish I could record my thoughts, because oftentimes I'd sit home and think about the future. And I don't mean just next year or a year and a half from now. I think in terms of 25, 50, 75, and 100 years ahead. This is the Western society's ways of thought. They don't worry about tomorrow. They don't worry about when we're going to get our dividends. They worry about their future. They ensure their future to the point where they come up with ways to make sure that they get their children established. And one form is through retirement benefits, education funds that they set aside for their children. This is just an example I'm using. What I'm going to say is there's many ways ANCSA land selected is subject to being lost. And it could be lost in many ways, such as adverse possession, eminent domain, through the sales. The board of directors of a corporation can sell lands right now, although there's a 20-year ban since December 18 of 1971. Tanner Cross Inc. Board of Directors can sell land right under off your feet. Although I don't foresee this as a possibility in the next few years, it can happen and it will happen.